as everybody who knows who listens to this program, that is Peyton Davis, and broadcasting live from the Marine West Expo here at the 22 area of Camp Pendleton, California. So the home of the 1st Marine Division and 1MAP. And joining me is a guy who presented yesterday. He's actually flying as we broadcast this. But Steve, Colonel type, Steve Arms joins us today. Steve, first of all, thanks for doing this.
Hey, thanks, Mike, for having me. Appreciate it.
No, we got to find out about you. So as Marines, we got to kind of like sniff around to find out if we could believe you or not. So born and raised where?
Born in Camp Lejeune, North Carolina.
Oh.
Dad was a Marine and moved out to Carlsbad here when I was six and pretty much grew up in Carlsbad. Dad was with 1st Recon Battalion, so that kept him here pretty much my entire childhood. Graduated from Carlsbad High School and went to college in Thousand Oaks. And
Calu guy.
Cal Lutheran. And met my future bride there and decided to join the Marine Corps instead of going into business, marketing, advertising in Los Angeles, which I thought was going to be the path.
But so I asked most people how the Marine Corps got on their radar, so I don't have to ask you that. What took you to Calu? You athlete? Did you? I mean, they had great. I went to the University of San Diego, and we played them in football, and they were good. They were big and fast, and the Dallas Cowboys trained up there.
That's right, yeah.
And they were they exploited that to their advantage, and they were good. So did you play sports up there?
Yeah, originally, I went up there. My quarterback, I played, believe it or not, at 6 foot, 165 pounds. I played offensive center, and the quarterback was going to look at it, and one of the receivers. And we went up there, looked at it, took a visit, and the coach is like, you're way too small. You're going to be a defensive back. I had no skills. I played center since I was 9 years old. And I really fell in love with the school, though. And as we were leaving, talking to the football coach, the rugby coach was there having practice. And started talking to the rugby coach, and the quarterback and I decided that we liked the school, and rugby is similar to football. And we wanted to keep playing something in college. And so we both decided to go to Cal Lutheran and play rugby for them.
Thousand Oaks, California. There you go. The you got a degree in business?
Business. Yes.
All right. So you joined the Marine Corps, and then what do you become in the Marine Corps?
Infantry officer. You know, that was, well, my plan was to go into marketing advertising in Los Angeles. Was doing an internship my sophomore year. And having come from a background of playing team sports my entire life, the thing that scared me the most about leaving college was, and working as an intern, I'm not going to have that team. I don't have a team, and there was a big void there that was scaring the heck out of me. And then some of the rugby guys came and said, hey, let's talk to this OSO, this officer selection officer. I had no idea what that was at the time, even though I'd grown up around the Marine Corps. And so three of us said, yeah, let's do this thing. And went to OCS and then came to the Marine Corps, am an infantry officer, and first duty station in 29 Palms, California, where had guys like then Colonel Mattis as regimental commander, and it just kind of took off from there. And once I got in,
what year did you get to 29 Palms?
93, August of 93.
I was out there, though. I was coming to commander then. Well, yeah, you saw that.
Yeah, I heard your brief. I was like, we overlapped same time out there. Right. And my wife's from California, and I, having grown up out here, I asked to go to Camp Lejeune. And I got my orders, and they were 29 Palms. Had never been to 29 Palms. Had been to Palm Springs. Wife and I both fell in love with it. It was a great, great duty station. She worked for the sheriff's department out there and was pretty busy. And but just guys like General Furness and General Mattis now, and all those players that were there as captains, and right, and that were, it's a really neat start.
So. Wow, wow. So tell me about your, talk to me about your career. Give me a couple of high points in your career.
Well, after there, I went down to the depot. My plan after that, my OSO was in reconnaissance. My dad had been in reconnaissance. I wanted to go down to first recon and over to first force at some point. I had a battalion commander that talked me out of doing that and going to the drill field. And really, because you can work around the best NCOs and staff NCOs in the Marine Corps, I didn't understand what he's talking about at the time, but went down there and then came back to 5th Marines after that, going to school, and that B billet was with Colonel Dunford in 5th Marines, and 1-5, and went to Iraq with 1-5, and that was my second pump with them. And after that, it's just, you know, 3MF, a few tours to Okinawa, and had planned to retire in 2017. And got a call from General Boehm saying that they wanted to stand up this force fitness division, new thing that General Neller was looking at and improving the way we do fitness in the Marine Corps. My plan was to retire in 17 and go to Colorado Springs, but the opportunity to work around Olympic athletes versus Marines, I would take Marines any day of the week, and so I just saw this as an opportunity to continue to serve and work with Marines on fitness, but it's a whole lot more than fitness to me at the end of the day. So
we'll talk about that in a second. give me, if I asked you, give me one leadership lesson for me to pass on to my sons, what would it be?
Ironically, a reporter asked me in Iraq, what is it that makes Marines so different than anybody else? And I think it's loyalty. I told him loyalty, and then I told him a story about kind of emphasizing that point that I won't tell here because it'll take a couple minutes. But I think loyalty is that one thing that, at least in my upbringing, coming from a family that the loyalty piece is embedded in, I come from an Irish background, and that's that Celtic tradition of the families, the tribe, the culture, the clans, is more important than anything else, and in that loyalty to each other. And from the folks that I know, you're not following somebody because they're in a position of authority, you're following because you respect them. And so if I could put it in one word, I guess loyalty is the biggest thing that I've found that really makes Marines so much different than anybody else.
Talk to me about, so General Boehm asked you to come over to do what at Force Fitness, to develop the concept, or what specifically did he ask you to come over and do?
Well, at that point, it was still a vision. They wanted to somehow better, more professionalize the way we do fitness in the Marine Corps. And one of the first things I talked to him about was making this a holistic thing. It's not just about the PT. It's about the nutrition. It's about the recovery. And, you know, in my own background, fitness was a way as an outlet. I mean, there's a lot of outlets that myself and other Marines could use, some of them more destructive than others. For me, it was PT. It was a way to clear the head, to burn off some excess energy with a positive side benefit of it. And so the initial plan was to kind of start a program where if you're at Pendleton or you're Lejeune, it's Monday, everybody's doing cardio, Tuesday everybody's doing weights. And one of the candid discussions we had was that, you know, if you look at a track and field program anywhere, high school, college, doesn't matter. You've got a head track coach, but you've got a jumps guy, you got a sprints guy, a distance coach. You've got a bunch of assistant coaches that work with that. And that's very similar to the way the program is designed. That force fitness instructor is kind of the head coach. And he's got a martial arts guy that's an assistant coach, a McQuist guy that's an assistant coach. And so it was really building out that program. The first FFI force fitness instructor course had not graduated yet. And it was my guidance when I got there from the Training Education Command, CG, was you define the left and right lateral limits. Obviously, General Neller had some things he wanted to push. First time in my Marine Corps career, I was able to handpick the team and define my own or our own limits on where we want to take this thing for the betterment of the fitness piece, but also a lot of other things that are tied to that.
So how's it going?
Well, so far.
So give me the timeline. So you start this one.
The concept was started, I think, in late 2016, like November, December time frame. the meat of it started being hung in early 2017, and I got there in July of 17.
Okay.
And at that point, it was me and Brian McGuire, who's the deputy of the Force Fitness Division, and that was about it. And the rest of the team kind of flowed in after that. And I guess my biggest concern up front was, coming from an endurance triathlon background, I didn't want it to be an endurance a division everybody looked at as, oh, this is all about endurance. I didn't want it to be all about strength and conditioning. I didn't want it to all be about CrossFit or any one particular thing, but have a well-balanced program. And so being able to handpick the team with guys that had a background in strength and conditioning, guys that had a background in endurance, swimming, a whole different background to really balance out the program. And then we laid out about 30 things that were important to us. Obviously, the Combatants were at the top of the list, but over the last year and a half or so, about 16 of those priorities have been either completed or some are started. They'll never be complete. But we've been able to knock out 16 pretty big major muscle movements over the last year and a half or so.
Got it. All right, so update everybody on because I think most people, when they think Marine Corps fitness, they think, well, Marines are fit. You know, I know that. I mean, you see them. I mean, they look fit. You know, we see them on TV, what they're doing. They got to be fit. Talk to us about our old physical fitness standards and then where the physical fitness standards are headed.
Well, I don't think that the way we did fitness in the Marine Corps is necessarily wrong, but one question I used to always ask people, and it's changing today, but something as simple as running. You know, I asked some of the general officers when I first got there, as we were talking about the program, I said, how many classes have you been given in the Marine Corps on something as simple as running? Did anyone ever talk to you about that or talk to you about stride count or foot placement? And the answer's always been no. And throughout the years, Marines have always come up and said, hey, how can I get faster on the PFT? And my answer to them was, I'm not going to make you any faster. I'm just going to make you more efficient. And by being more efficient, it's going to reduce injuries. And the side product is going to be you're going to be getting faster simply by being more efficient. And same with strength conditioning, same with nutrition. The way we did the Marine Corps previously wasn't necessarily, in some ways were wrong, but it wasn't the best way to do things. And we never really took any science from industry or from professional level teams. It was always kind of driven to the knowledge that maybe the leadership in that unit had on fitness. So we're trying to more professionalize and treat Marines as the warrior athletes that they really are. And that's why it's not just about fitness. It's a holistic approach to, you know, mind, body, spirit, and making sure that they're the complete package. And the fitness is obviously very important in our jobs, especially in those load-bearing units. You physically have to be able to do things to complete your mission, but it's taken the best from industry. When I say industry, I mean collegiate-level sports and professional-level sports, and implementing that into what we do, whether it's like Gunny Gates talked about this morning with dynamic warm-up, going into the core workouts, and then doing the cool down, and then the proper recovery so that you're ready to go tomorrow. So it's all about that resiliency from a physical perspective and conditioning them for their specific jobs.
Should there be different physical standards for different MOS? You just mentioned load bearing, right?
Right.
And when you think about it, it would seem to be appropriate that, you know, if you're going to be a grunt, there's a physical standard that is appropriate because of what you do. Not the same for somebody who's an administrator or somebody who doesn't do that on a regular basis. Does that fit or does it not fit because, you know, at any point in time you could be thrust into that situation? How do you look at it from a fitness perspective?
Well, it's funny you should ask that. That's a pretty hot topic right now as we do this gender integration piece and how do we get females into those physically demanding MOSs. So we developed gender neutral standards pre-accession. So if a Marine is coming off the street and they want to go to into the Marine Corps and become an infantryman, they take this, whether the male or female, they take the same physical ground combat arms essential strength test. Male and females take the same test. And when they get to boot camp, they have MLS classification standard. So when they do their PFT and CFT, we develop a threshold of where they should be at from a fitness perspective off those two events for them to continue on that entry pipeline or any of the 29 MOSs that are considered the load-bearing MOSs. And then when they get their MOS school, again, gender-neutral, they have occupational-specific, occupational-relevant tests they have to take that we call MSPAs. It's an MOS performance standards. And I think that's what anyone that's scrutinizing the gender integration piece, I can clearly tell them that, hey, look, it doesn't matter if you're male or female. If they're going after one of those infantry jobs or one of the load-bearing jobs, from a physical perspective, they had to do the exact same standards to get there. Now, the PFT and the CFT are just a test of general fitness. Those are gender normed, so we have different standards for the males and females. But if it's talking about the occupational specific fitness, those are all standardized and they're gender neutral. So males and females both have to do it. Does the person that's an administrator or a logistician have to worry about fitness less? I don't think so. As then Colonel Dunford said a long time ago, the physical fitness is going to lead to mental toughness. And that's something that's always resonated with me, that the more physically fit a Marine is, the more mentally tough they are. And I think that goes across all MOSs. And so that's the beauty of this FFI, the Force Fitness Instructor Program, is those FFIs develop their program of fitness based on their unit's mission essential task list. So it doesn't matter if they're an aviator or an infantryman or an admin or logistician, they're developing a fitness program based on their unit's mission. And it can really be tailored and customized for that specific unit.
So when I was doing my post-traumatic winning thing and you saw up there, physical fitness is mental fitness. You thought this guy's really smart, did you?
I thought you were a genius. It was well played, and that you're absolutely right, though. I mean, that right. is, and I think that's all overlooked a lot of times, that how the two are so connected to each other. And General Neller said one time when I was talking with him that he doesn't ever remember NJP in a Marine that was physically fit, and I think that. Or he couldn't remember ever doing that. And
interesting.
I think that he's onto something there, that if you're thinking of yourself as a combat or a warrior athlete, where your nutrition and your recovery and your physical preparation, because you really are an elite athlete. I mean, look at how many people come in the military at large, and then look at how many come in the Marine Corps.
You want to know how many come in the Marine Corps? I did the math.
What is it?
Okay. I did it on a calculator, and I didn't understand the number. Okay? I had to do it on a spreadsheet so I could go Barney style. It is, if you're in the Marine Corps on active duty today, you are 6.8 tenths of 1/10 of 1% of the population. Yeah. Now, so when people say you're part of the less than 1%, if you're a Marine, you are part of less than 1/10 of 1%. That's how special and extraordinary you are.
Well, and a few years ago, I asked, I was looking at, high school football. How many of those high school football players get a chance to play in the NFL? And it was about 0.2% actually make it to the NFL. That's not far off of the number of Americans that actually become a Marine. So I was using that point to emphasize to the Marines that you really are special, and you need to treat yourself and think of yourself as an elite athlete, because what we do as Marines is physically demanding, and it's not something the average American has to do in their job or to keep someone else alive that's on their team. And the way the warfare is changing, everyone is needs to be physically fit, because again, like we've both talked about, that mental toughness, doesn't matter what MOS you are, mentally tough, being mentally tough is crucial for every MOS. But long way of answering your question, that we have developed physical fitness standards and performance standards that are gender neutral for the load bearing MOSs.
All right, now talk to me about the Force Fitness instructors themselves. So they go out to a unit. Do they reside at battalions? Is there a regimental one? Is there a chain of command and all that through the three shop? What's the structure of the Force Fitness instructor?
Well, to be a force fitness instructor, first off, you have to be nominated by your commander. It's sergeant or above, and it's somebody the commander looks at and says, you know, this person's got not only the physical attributes to be able to do the challenging 6-week course, but also the leadership ability to come back and be that commander's, whether it's battalion level, company level, platoon level, to be that commander's subject matter expert on fitness and integrate that plan based on that unit's mission, and then go out there and teach that and talk to the Marines about what they're doing, is able to tell them the why behind it. So they have to be obviously physically fit, but also a mentor, instructor, because they go through a pretty rigorous 6-week course back in Quantico that touches on kinesiology, physiology, nutrition, how to program fitness. And one of the graduation requirements is they take their unit's mission essential task list and develop a program of fitness for that unit. And then they got to go back. When they get back, they build a brief to go and talk to their unit commander and their sergeant major or first sergeant. So the FFIs, our goal is to have one per every 200 Marines, so about one per every company. And those units in the Marine Corps that have them, they're utilizing them correctly, can't get enough of them. Unfortunately, there's only 50 seats in each class, but it's, you know, we figured it'd take about 3 years to grow the program. We're about 600 right now, so another year we'll be at the 900 mark to try to get to one per 200, which is on par with the McQuist instructors as well and the martial arts instructors.
So I sat through kind of part of your brief today. I got there a little bit late. Talk to me about some of the, I saw some pretty cool stuff that you all put up there. You talked about ratios that you talked about. So you also like kind of threw up an app up there that talked about tracking physical activity and a whole variety of factors. So where does this thing ultimately go? And does that app, is the data available just to the Marine? Is it available to the commander? Paint us a picture of where this thing goes.
Well, the app we're developing.
And let me ask you a question. So in all of this, is it designed, because you were talking about a platform that elite athletes jump up and down on, right? And the way they impacted, right? Talked about pain levels or I think pain levels is the word you use. You can correct me. And then the amount of force that they generated off it also spoke of body strength and then tracking the fluctuations in all that as a predictor of injuries. So talk about the where this all goes for this warrior athlete that you describe.
Well, it kind of plays into the holistic package we're looking at. The athletic trainers, we're currently hiring athletic trainers to go down to the battalion level. That athletic trainer is bringing a lot of experience and skill sets to that unit. The person that we're looking at hiring has got a strength conditioning background as well as being a certified athletic trainer with at least 5 years experience at the D1 or the professional level. So as we start to feel new gear, whether it's recovery-type gear or gear to measure the biometrics, that athletic trainer is going to know how to utilize that equipment. And I look at the other services programs, and they're going after technical solutions to the problem. And I'm not convinced that it's always a technical solution. It's there's a lot can be said with just having a good coach there, a good FFI, walking you through a program. So as an athlete, though, I've used a program where my coach would remotely enter the workouts, and then with the wearable devices, Garmin or whatever it is you're wearing, heart rate monitors, the coach was able to look at what you did in that workout session and analyze it. Look at the data, look at your heart rate, look at your steps per minute, because you know the higher steps per minute you have, you know, 180 is a sweet spot so that you're getting a good turnover. That alone is going to make you a more efficient runner. So we started looking at all the great apps out there that athletics uses right now, and there wasn't really one that did everything that we wanted to do that was going to really support the FFI program. So we started creating our own app and developing that. We've been testing it now for several months. Hopefully be able to release it here this summer in mass. But it's called the FitForce app. And what that app is able to do is it's kind of a two-prong approach. It's a program for the Force Fitness instructors to use, because now they're using spreadsheets and calendars, paper, to lay out their program. But it's hard to share that program with a like unit, a Camp Lejeune, if you're at Pendleton, let's say. And so the app's going to be for the FFI to program, but it's also going to be for that young Marine, the mobile version of it. So the young Marine sees 30 days out every single day what workout's coming up, what it's going to entail, and what they're going to be asked to do at PT. Vice just showing up there and being told that day what they're doing for PT that day. So it brings the Marine into it, and if they do have wearables, that will be able to feed into it. So the FFI can look at it.
So define wearables.
So a wearable is a heart rate monitor. You know, now they're building them inside the watch. So like I wear a Garmin watch, and it tracks my sleep at night. It tracks my heart rate. It also does the physical biometrics, pace count, steps per minute, and all that. That's all data now the FFI can look at and start to analyze. But the app also has the ability for Marines to rate how they feel in the day. Do they have any injuries? Is there anything bothering them? And so the commander can now look at some trends, and the FFI can look at some trends along that unit of are Marines being injured, what's causing the injury, through a series of questions the Marine answers on a daily basis. So part of it is the Marine's going to have to buy into it and actually use it. But at a bare minimum, the Marine will be able to see what workouts he's got coming up, and the FFI will be able to track the progress of that. And the unit commander can look and see, is it a well-balanced program? Because knowing that we only got 6 weeks to train these Marines up, and their knowledge of programming fitness and that is good, we didn't want to make it so that they would overload a system endurance-wise or strength-wise. We wanted to make it a well-balanced program, so it's color-coded. So if it's all red, it's an imbalanced program, and the FFI and the commander can look at that and say, hey, we need to balance this out. So we developed some stop gaps in there that they have to override if they're just going to focus on one of the systems. So
that's interesting. All right. So the app comes out this summer, and it if you're wearing wearables, you can link that to them. And so what happens to that data? I mean, so does that data, if you are wearing a wearable, does that go to the unit commander so he can monitor your progress? Are you there yet, or how does this ultimately finish?
Well, it will be viewable by the FFI and the unit commander and the Marine on the mobile version of it, and it will be where I want this to go is, so if I'm a fire team leader in 1st Battalion, 5th Marines. And I've got an FFI there, and I'm doing the program, and I get transferred to the drill field, and then on to another unit. That data follows me throughout my career, so that FFIs along the way can see, one, if you've been injured, two, what's your background. And at the entry-level training piece, especially as Marines are coming through there, it'll help us track the injury data and try to tweak how we're doing the programming for the fitness and seeing if there's any trends in injuries. But that'll also be able to be utilized by the unit commanders as well to see if there's one particular event that's causing the injuries. One example of that is when I was a battalion commander, we at infantry training battalion, we do a 20-kilometer hike, and that hike gave everybody fits, and I always thought it was the distance of it. And then I had an NCO come up to me, a sergeant, and said, hey, I think we could keep more Marines from dropping out if we simply switch the hike route. Like, well, that means we're going to be up on the shelf in the hills at the end of the hike. And he goes, yeah, but it's a heck of a lot cooler up there than it is down the riverbed. And so we switched the hike route, reversed it. And so we were finishing by being up on the ridgeline. And it was amazing the difference of the number of Marines dropping out of that hike, because it's simply switching the hike route around. We added nutrition to that, doing away with the bug juice, and started doing water and Duralites, started having them do a jail shot every 30 minutes, and then when we stopped every 50 minutes for a sock change, they were eating a bar of some kind, so they were getting about 300 calories an hour in, and it got to the point where we're not having any hike drops at all on
at SOI?
5 to 20K at SOI, which is absolutely amazing.
No, that doesn't happen. I mean, right? SOI is legendary for some of the hikes they go on. You'll have really funny stories about just straggling. I remember somebody told me a story where he said they have people straggling forever. They get back to the grinder, and company commander says, or you know, you guys finished. Who wants to go again? Yeah. He's like, who wants to go again? Yeah. All right, company hotel. And everybody's like, what? Right face. And he said, we weren't going to go very far, but he said within a quarter mile they were strung up forever. People just had hit their culminating point. But SOI is, I mean, honestly, SOI is legendary for you're trying to shape not only bodies but minds to fight through this way of now I'm going to move with all this weight on my back. Sure. It's very, very different, and so SOI is legendary for, you know, straggling, and they're just not physically up to the task yet, but it's, you know, I mean, again, changing socks and eating something and drinking water and gel shots and stuff like that, that's all elite athlete stuff.
Yeah, it was just, I mean, the whole thing started, in 2008 when I was there, looking at the initial PFT and the final PFT, there was about a 17% decrease in the score. So we were sending Marines to the Op 4 less fit than they were when we got them. And so, one of the first sergeants said, hey, just talk to a nutritionist. And nutritionist came in and talked to the first sergeants, the company commanders, and I. And she left, and First Sergeant Jones said, she's not going to be effective. I said, well, why not? He's like, because she doesn't look the part. She's overweight, and she's there talking about nutrition. And I said, yeah, for certain, she's the expert. She's got all the degrees and the credentials. Who's going to talk about nutrition? And he said, why don't you talk about it? I said, I'm not a nutritionist. He goes, yeah, but you're an athlete. And do the same things. I mean, a hike is an athletic event, so just talk to the Marines about that. So it's funny you say that about the mindset change. Then Sergeant Major Santiago and I, we had an hour and a half block to talk to all the new companies coming into SOI, and it usually took about 10 minutes because no private or PFC had any questions for us. So I took First Sergeant Jones's advice and had about two or three slides simply on what to eat for breakfast, what to use to fuel on the hikes. And, Mike, I had 45 minutes of questions from the young Marines the first time we gave that. In fact, 45 minutes from a group that typically, historically, we had no questions from. And so even back in 08, I'm like, Marines are interested in this stuff. They want to know how to do better. And so that brief, because of their questions on how do you run, how do you get faster, how do you run more efficient, you know, that brief grew, and it was, you know, a 30, 45 minute presentation with about that long, if not longer, of questions from the guys afterwards. But I wouldn't, we always did the class the morning after the initial PFT. So we'd go out and run the PFT with them, change over, and then go in the classroom and talk to them at the pickup. So one, they had just seen me out there in the Sergeant Major running with them. And two, so, you know, we had a chance to really break the ice right up front and start talking about something that really mattered to them. And that was, how can I get through this 9-week course that we know is very physically demanding? And they were all ears. So, and that brief is, I've been given it ever since 08 to other units that heard about it. And so when the opportunity came to be able to do this for the Marine Corps at large, I couldn't pass it up. It was just, it was too good to be true.
My guest is Colonel Steve Arms. And what's your official title, Steve?
The Director of the Marine Corps Force Fitness Division.
He is the Director of the Marine Corps Force Fitness Division. talk to me about after you get out of the Marine Corps and fitness. You're right at that. You're getting right to that point. I'm sure you have a lot of friends that have got out, and put on the 20 to 30 pounds that people put on. Just in the class that I just gave about post-traumatic winning, fitness is a part of your life, and again, a part of the mental health. What changes and what advice, do you give advice? And what advice do you give to people that get out?
Well, for me, I could resonate with your class or the brief you gave so well because, you know, having been an athlete from a sports perspective, and I never was a great runner, never was really into endurance sports, and then I get back from Iraq, and we all know there's destructive behaviors that right. could go on. So for me, the outlet was... you know, it took me a while to find it, but it was PT, and I could go out there and do a PT session. And I just felt better, and my mind was clearer. And so for me,
wait a minute. Your first real foray into it was a mental health release.
It was. I mean, coming back from Iraq, fortunately, when I left 1-5, because I'd been there two pumps. You know, it was my time to rotate out. Fortunately,
what year?
I left 1-5 in late 2003.
Okay.
And you know, unfortunately, my wife was in a car wreck. So talked to the monitor and said, "Hey, she's going through a lot of medical issues with the car wreck. And can I stay somewhere?" And he goes, "Yeah, you're staying at Pendleton. I'm pushing down to SOI." Well, that was tough in a sense that we had just come back from Iraq, and all the guys that we had served with were now PCS, and we're all going to different places. And fortunately, a lot of the guys from 1-5 came down to then AIT, Advanced Infantry Training Company. A lot of them had been wounded in Iraq, and so talking about that kinship and that clan, we'd all been through the same experience with the same unit, and now we're in our second unit together. And I think that really helped with that the post-traumatic winning you're talking about. And fitness was our way to get out there and just, you know, bond together even further. And it was a productive way of doing it. And I think, it took all of us a little bit to get to that point and find something that was non-constructive in doing it. And it just really, from a mental aspect of it, really helped us out. And for me, that led to this whole... triathlon and getting into the endurance sports and just.
But you say you're not. You say you were never a runner.
No, I mean I was.
Are you a runner now?
I am now. It's getting harder as I get older, but you know, I came up playing football and in rugby and came in the Marine Corps. I was 220 pounds and.
Whoa.
You know, the first PFT I think I took was 24 something and. You know, one thing to challenge, Marines thought I was always challenged them because I told them, look, if you beat my personal best run time or if you beat me on the PFT and get a 300, I'll give you a day off. And so they thought it was them trying to get, you know, a day off, but it was, I threw the challenge on the table because it was challenging me to try to, improve myself. And then, so as we rolled in the fourth fitness division thing, one of the things that I challenged the Marines to in the Marine Corps was to beat my personal best run time. Because that's an individual level thing. And then right. we started incentivizing it with a double 300 award and then a unit fitness award because I personally saw the mental aspects of being fit. So to answer your question, I guess, what am I going to do after the Marine Corps? It's become a lifestyle. So it's not something I just do for the fitness aspect of it, but it's a lifestyle. And that's kind of... gone throughout my whole family. My kids are both now athletes. My son's a professional triathlete, and my youngest son's a swimmer in college, and my wife's a running coach. So it's just kind of been a lifestyle thing for us now.
What advice do you give to other people that are retired that might be listening that have got inactive and then think about getting active again and saying, oh, man, that's going to be so much ass pain. I don't know that I want to do it. You got any advice for those guys?
Well,
girls,
it's
guys and girls.
You know, it's not going to be easy getting back in shape, but I tell you, if you just stick with it and make it a holistic approach to not only the fitness piece of it, but the nutrition piece. And if you are retired out there and you're listening, you got a foam roll, you got a stretch, or you're going to get those injuries and start into it slow and just build it up from there. And you know, set some goals, whether it's a 5K or a marathon. Put something on the calendar out there. I mean, we're used to working with, in the Marine Corps, there's always a deployment up there. There's always a TEEP. There's always something to follow, regimented. Put some regiment back in the civilian side and set those goals out there. And I guarantee you'll feel better.
All right. Final question. this concept of the warrior athlete, is it here to stay for the Marine Corps? And is it only going to get more and more involved, or is this something the Marine Corps is experimenting with and you might not see it?
I think it's going to stick because I think it's really been going on, at least was apparent to me since 2008 when I gave that first class on nutrition. I think this is something, just the population that we recruit, I think that they're into athletics, they're into challenging themselves. I mean, let's face it, why would they join the Marine Corps if they weren't up for a challenge? And
door number four.
Door number four, absolutely. And I think the leadership, though, the leaders have to set the example. I think Marines are a lot like those clans I talked about earlier. They're going to follow you, not out of that because you're in a position of authority. I mean, yes, they're going to do that, but they're going to really respect you because of the person that you are and the example you set. So I've always just, tried to set that example for them. And I think it's something that's going to stick. I think as we really start digging into things like you talked about and looking at the other services and looking at the long-term health benefits of being at 20 years, not being broken, still being fit, still being able to do your job, I think the retiring population in the future, by doing the programs like this, is they're going to be better set up for retirement from a health perspective and a mental perspective if we really keep with this program. So I think it's going to stick. I think Marines get it. And I think it's something that is going to continue to challenge them, and they're going to continue to rise to that challenge.
First of all, thanks for sticking around and doing this today. I appreciate it. And I hope you don't mind in the future if I bug you and bring you back on as you guys roll more and more stuff out and bring it to market.
It'd be my pleasure, Mike. Thank you.
All right. Colonel Steve Arms, United States Marine Corps. We're going to take a break. More Ball Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.